You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole and I'm your host. The homie Ray is out. We're going to talk about the Commanders free agent signings and players that left the building. Our show got cut off last week, so I decided to continue the whole discussion that we had last week. Before we get into any Commanders talk, hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure to subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the red subscribe button and like this video. Also, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. All right, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. Sports Journey's Washington Commanders reporter Lake Lewis Jr. and Bowie TV president slash Commanders reporter Candy Waller will join me to talk about the Commanders free agent signings and players who departed. So let's get right into it, folks. We have founder of Seawall Sports and Entertainment and Bowie TV president Commanders reporter Candy Waller. She's in the queue, so I'm going to jump her right in. What's going on, Candy?
Hey, what's up?
How are you doing?
You know, I'm just, you know, just trying to keep up with everything. But I cannot complain.
I see you hustling. You working it.
Yes. A lot of hustling.
A lot of hustling. I see you.
You know, I appreciate you having me. And so we can catch up.
No problem. Anytime, man. Anytime. We're waiting on Lake, but we're going to jump into it. And he'll just jump on when he gets here. All right, so obviously a lot of things popped off. You know, there's players out here, good players, players that people wanted or whatnot. But we're going to start here first. The Commanders signed safety, Jeremy Chinn. What were your thoughts on that signing at the time, knowing that, you know, there was a Cam Curl cloud hovering around us?
Well, I mean, let's go all, you know, I got to go all the way back to Combine Week, right? Mm-hmm. So Combine Week. There's a lot of business being done that week, you know. Of course, we know the teams are there, scouts are there, agents are there. I posted quite a bit about the DBs, and just the overall position group. I probably spent a lot of my time there, of course, with quarterbacks. I'm just talking about from overall media availability to drills and just, you know, getting some intel of what's going on. Actually them, and I, you know, found out some things, you know, with tight ends, you know, all of that. You're just trying to find out, read the room.
Yeah, of course.
And I think during the right after the tag period, Cam Curl posted, you know, the deuces, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, all right.
I hit his kiss with Chris Brown. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And so that was definitely my sign that Cam is out.
Yeah.
So whatever it was that he, you know, whatever he was officially asking for, thought he, you know, what his number was, the Commanders were moving on from that.
Yeah.
So I knew a DB signing was coming. I mean, I haven't ruled out, of course, a drafting of a DB. But I thought Jeremy Chinn was solid. You know, I was just like, okay, you know, I mean, this is now becoming a, between the coaching staffs, they're bringing in their people.
Facts. They are bringing in their people.
And that's what's happening. It's just, it's a, you know, a business like many others that are built on relationships and networks. And they're bringing in people that they know have the mentality that they want to execute on the field. So it's not a matter of someone having to get used to their style, get used to what they want to do or how they want to, you know, run things. They got somebody who knows them, they can jump in and get it done.
Yeah.
So I hated to see him go, of course, but.
Do you feel that Chinn is an upgrade compared to Cam Curl? Or what is your thought on that?
That's where I'm stuck. That's where I'm like, the jury's out for me. I cannot confidently say that is an upgrade.
Okay.
I think that there was a lot more that we could have seen Cam Curl do, but under the previous coaching staff, I don't think he was used as effectively as he could have been. Cam Curl is a dog, straight up. And let him get after it. And it was just too conservative of a system, I feel like, for him previously. So it remains to be seen But at the I honestly do not know. I would have to wait until I, you know, what we see on the field on game day.
Okay.
But I'm not sensing that at the moment, if I'm just, you know. Yeah.
I know. I feel you. All right. We got another guest in the building. We got Sports Journeys, Washington Commanders reporter, Mr. Lake Lewis, Mr. We Are. What's going on, sir?
You said it right there. What's up, fam?
Hey, what's going on?
It's like a mini reunion. I'm so touched and so happy.
He's telling Wole to come back, but you know, he don't.
I'm my own thing now.
Man, sometimes you ain't missing much.
So like I'm gonna ask you the same question I asked Candy real quick. Do you feel like the signing of Jeremy Chinn is an upgrade to Cam Curl?
You know what I do.
Okay.
And it's hard to. It's just like when I say that's throwing Cam under the bus.
Yeah.
No, I mean Cam was. I thought they should have re-signed him. That was just me. But if you're not gonna re-sign a guy, you can't do something that's just totally lateral. You have to do something that kind of makes you better.
Yeah.
And I think for maybe what they want to do defensively, I think Chinn is just as good, if not better, for what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I want to see what he does with Dan Quinn. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. I just want to see what Chinn will do with Dan Quinn. Because I do agree with you, Candy. I think that if Cam Curl stuck it out, I think he would have had his best years in Washington under Dan Quinn. But the problem was and it's wild because what he signed for was kind of low to me. 2 years, the 13 mil. I thought he can get at least about 10. I didn't think he was going to get 16. Didn't think he was going to get 15. Didn't think he was going to get 14. But I thought he can get 10. So him getting that deal, I was like, oh, well, I was wondering what did Washington offer him? Or did he not read the room in terms of the market? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
Okay.
And you know, guys, look, and this is the hard part about this. And Candy, you know, being out there knowing these guys, it's hard for us sometimes to put the truth and reality and our feelings aside because you do develop relationships with people. But I think the big picture is, let's just be brutally honest with this.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys that have been in this locker room have become accustomed to losing. And when you're a new coach, new GM, new ownership, you want to bring your own guys in, but you want to bring people in that can reset a culture. Now, in fairness to Cam Curl and some of the other guys that Curtis Samuel, guys that are no longer there, Sam Howell, you know, Chinn's coming from Carolina. Louvu's coming from Carolina, and they haven't had any success either. So if you're going to say that, then you have to be able to back it up with, you know, these are your guys. But I think it comes down to style of play. That's what I truly believe is going on here, at least on the defensive side of the ball. They want absolute dogs on that side of the ball that force turnovers. Remember, Joe Witt's Dallas Cowboys defenses over the past few years, Dan Quinn's defenses have been one of the leaders in turning, you know, the ball over.
Yeah.
Cam Curl, that wasn't his game. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't create turnovers. He was just a solid tackler and a smart player. So I think they're looking for guys that are going to make somebody put the ball on the ground.
So Candy, do you think that if Cam Curl was in this system, were you able to create turnovers, or is that just something about him? Like, he's not a turnover ball hawk type of safety.
I think he wanted to be, you know, I think he wanted to be. He would absolutely talk about that, right? Like, he would say, you know, he wants to be the top safety in the league, pro bowler. He wants six pick sixes. He wants all these, you know. It just, in reality, though, that's just not what happened. And it leads you to exactly what Lake was saying. Okay, was it the system, kind of what I was saying, or is it just the player? Because it's ingrained in him now. It's just who he is. So does this group of coaches feel like they have to tailor somebody to their system when they can just go out and get their person?
Yeah,
or go out and get somebody that can absolutely already execute the way they want them to play?
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for the players who are talented, because I feel like the coaches, the prior regime, kind of messed their money up.
West, game's up.
Yeah, the game's up. Yeah, like in all honesty, like I think somebody like Cam Curl, if he's in the proper system, like we be talking about him much differently, right? Because it wasn't a knock, because I feel like, you know, some people think I hate on Cam Curl. I'm not hating on Cam Curl. I acknowledge that I think Cam Curl could have been special here with the right coaching scheme. I just feel like because of his, when you think of safeties in the NFL and you're talking about getting the bag, you think of safeties like I'll just go and pass, like Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, dudes like that. Like those are the type of safeties that you look at getting the bag because they're not just tackling. They're out there getting plays. They're forcing fumbles to get interceptions. And I just felt like the old regime didn't put him in a proper position to make plays. Because I thought we saw glimpses of that his rookie year, because he was making plays like that his rookie year. But we didn't see him utilized the same way, I feel like, as he went on.
You know what's surprising is that the league is kind of devaluing safeties now. It's almost like they've become what the running back has been on the offensive side of the ball.
So true.
And that's surprising to me, considering how much since the league devalues running backs, that means they're passing. Mm-hmm. So you would think you'd want some safeties that can create turnovers. Yep. You know, the kid Simmons is still sitting out there, and he's perhaps the best safety in the game.
I thought this.
So it's just showing you that they're devaluing that position. Mm-hmm. Not so much I'm saying the Commanders, I just mean the league as a whole. So
no, I agree.
Yeah, it's surprising. But I think if you're going to be back there, you've got to be one of two things. You've got to be a big hitter. And if you look at Defoe, you know, he's big hitter. He'll be back there. Chen's a hitter. But those are guys that dislodge the football. So if you are going to pay a safety money, they've got to be able to do both those things. And unfortunately for Cam, he wasn't doing the latter. He could tackle. We know that. Mm-hmm. But he really wasn't turning the ball over.
Totally agree. So let's go to a popular pickup, and a guy that I've kind of been hyping up for the last couple of seasons. I wish they had picked up this guy, and they finally did. As many fans were hoping for, the Commanders signed linebacker Bobby Wagner. This candy is for you. What will he do for the Commanders linebacker Jamin Davis development? How will he help his development?
Listen, I think there's a leader in the room. We've been talking about where are the leaders? Who are the leaders? There's captains by title, right? Uh-huh. But who are the real leaders? There is now a leader in the room. I think overall the whole position group has gotten better this offseason. And it goes back to, you know, the conversation with Ken Norton Jr. What are the type of players you're looking for in this position? I need London Fletcher types. I need, you know, and that's everything he described is a Bobby Wagner. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of like laughed because I think someone made a joke on my post. It was like, oh, you could have just told us that he told you off the record that he was going to go. And I was like, is that what he said? But it goes back to the conversation around these coaches are going out and they're getting players they've worked with and have the mentality that they want to see in their locker room and on their field. They don't have to teach it to anybody. Somebody's just going to come in and know how to execute. And that's Bobby Wagner. He's going to be disruptive. And just by default, because if he is a leader, everybody else around him is going to be disruptive as well.
Yeah. Like, aren't you happy there's not a Cody Barton, bro? There's a Bobby Wagner.
Listen, before we get into that, I'm sitting here and I got to say it, man. I'm so proud of Candy. I'm serious, man.
She's awesome.
You know, I mean, that's family, but just to hear her say what she's saying. And I'm trying to tell people out there, that's the one right there that you need to be. And I
appreciate that.
You know, I love the comment, Candy, as far as captains by title. They had no leaders in there whatsoever. Mm. I mean, Terry may be a leader by example on the field, plays hard, but we're talking about leaders that when they're getting that tail handed to them, somebody will walk in that locker room, and as opposed to venting to us, I'm talking about venting to them in the locker room. They didn't have that, and I think Candy's 100% right. When you think of Bobby Wagner, he won a Super Bowl in Seattle. He lost in another Super Bowl. They should have won. Mm-hmm. But the point is, this is a Hall of Fame linebacker. You look at his stats. He He might be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's how good he's been. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, Austin Ekeler on the other side of the football. These are guys that have done it. They've proven it, and they've done it consistently. And yeah, they're getting a little long in the tooth now, but they're still upgrades and really good football players. So you're going to have a guy on one side of the ball, that's going to be able to galvanize a locker room. And when things start going bad, they'll be able to look to these two veterans to keep their spirits up, as opposed to not having anybody to look to. And how many times did we see when things started to go bad for Washington, it just snowballed and they could never stop it. So that's what these signings are with these veteran players. Zach Ertz, another guy. Yeah, he may have had, you know, some injury history recently because he's gotten older. But when he's healthy, he's still a very good tight end. Agreed. And I think that he's another guy that will give some leadership to Cole Turner and John Bates. Not saying that Logan Thomas didn't, but, you know, you guys know me. I don't like when guys are the first ones to talk to us in the media after a loss. And it becomes routine. Yeah. I don't want to talk to you. Because if you're talking to me, you probably didn't do what you were supposed to do. you know? So, so now we don't have to deal with that stuff anymore.
That's so true. So you mentioned Austin Ekeler. So you know, I'm actually a fan of B. Rob Lake, but I want to get your opinion. Who was running back one? Is it Austin Ekeler or is it B. Rob?
Oh no. There's no question. It's B. Rob. When I said an upgrade, and I mean this because you know I'm cool with with Antonio, with AG.
Yeah.
But you can't debate the fact that Eckler's had a much better, you know, career.
Of course.
And then on top of that, he's a hell of a pass catching back out the backfield. I mean, the problem with AG was he a running back or was he a wide receiver? Mm-hmm. I think Washington messed him up by making him do things that he didn't do in college. And they tried to run him in between the tackles. That's not what he did when he was in college. So, but now you look at Ekeler, he's got another thing going for him that's going to help him and be robbed. And that's his coach, Anthony Lynn. I mean, there's familiarity with that. So now you have two guys that I think will be the perfect complements. And then, of course, Chris Rodriguez, don't forget about him. So now you have a running back room where guys can distinctly do certain things as opposed to guys looking eerily similar to each other.
Yeah, so Kane, it's for you. Like, so how do you think Austin Ekeler helps B-Rob? And does he help B-Rob take his game to the next level? We see flashes of B-Rob. We can make the argument that maybe he doesn't get enough carries, but we see flashes with B-Rob. How do you think that Austin Ekeler is going to help B-Rob take his game to another level and be one of the better known running backs in the NFL?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what Lake was saying. I think it's going to make B-Rob better. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been looking for that 1-2, like a solid 1-2 running back punch coming out of the backfield. Mm. And they got it. Like, they have it right there with what they can do right there. I was a little, you know, Antonio was one of my people, you know, one of my people. And I was, you know, they probably leave it. And then when they really do, it's like, oh, man. Dang. And I went on a whole rant. No new friends. I don't want no new friends.
No new friends.
But if we're talking football, it's a better tandem. I mean, it is. And it's exactly what Lake said, because you look at the careers, you just look at what Austin Ekeler could bring. And Lake said it, Anthony Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a coup for Washington right there.
Yeah.
Right there. Right there. That's all the coach for that position group. So they can go nowhere but up with Anthony Lynn as their position coach.
Yeah, I do like that. Go ahead, Lake.
They're betting on one thing that I don't know if anybody's ever talked about this, but they're betting on themselves as far as the coaching staff, what they put together. They're betting on themselves to have success kind of like sooner than later, so that when someone gets a head coaching opportunity, because you know that's what happens. Coordinators has a great run and they get a job. Mm-hmm. So they're betting on themselves so that if Cliff Kingsbury has a great run as offensive coordinator and somebody wants to rehire him as a coach, well, you got Anthony Lynn that you can pluck in there to be, you know, if not a coordinator, just another position that won't be poached and taken away. You've got Brian Johnson, who has experience as a coordinator. I mean, so you have all these pieces. And then look on the defensive side of the ball. This is a first-time thing for Joe Witt Jr. So, of course, if he has a nice run, he's going to get a look as a head coach. But then you got Ken Norton Jr. sitting there.
Who's going to be right there,
So it's almost like they've put together a group for longevity and not have it being broken up every year if they do have some success. And that's a first. That's probably the first time I've ever seen it. And if anybody throws out at us, oh, well, the Shanahans had all those guys under their tree. Yeah, look at them. None of them got a chance here.
No, I do. I do like that their staff, I mean, lack of a better term, their staff is a bunch of dogs. I do like that. That's what I like the mentality. You know what I mean? That's what I've always wanted. I'm sick of having like the friendly faces around. I don't like friendly faces. That's why I like EB so much. I don't like friendly faces. I like mean people. Well, I like a lot of mean people.
The faces on the staff are, you know, let's call it like it is. To a lot of people, they are unfriendly. If you know
what I mean. Exactly. And that's what I like.
Yeah, I mean, like the coaching, the assistant coaching media availability, the vibe was way different.
Oh, it was way different in the snack.
I even had to laugh. I was like, I had to say, Anthony Lynn is not going to let me stand on his field while the running backs are working out.
You see how they treated you, though, right?
You see
how they treated you. I mean, treated her like gold. You know, that one of my boys, obviously, from right there is on this staff. And, you know, it was different. Candy hit it right on the head. It was definitely different. Also different to the point where they caught on to some nonsense, too.
Oh, really?
Not alone. Candy, no.
Oh, I vibe that. I like that. See, I like to hear stuff like that. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm a fan of all of that. All right, so Candy, this one's for you. So Commanders traded quarterback Sam Howell to the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle received Howell, a fourth round draft pick, which is number 102 overall, a sixth rounder was 179, in exchange for picks in the third round, 78, and fifth, which is 152. How do you feel about the deal? Also, are you cool with Marcus Mariota being like your backup quarterback for a rookie? Are you cool with that?
Well, first, I thought the deal was solid. I thought the deal was good. I was like, okay, this is a good deal. I was like, Adam Peters is a genius. Mm-hmm. I was like, how is he doing this? And then, of course, you know, not to change subjects, it's similar. When I saw the Justin Fields deal, I was like, well, let me find out. The Commanders just got more for Sam Howell is all who's making the deal, in my opinion. They got more for Sam Howell. So it was a great deal. sure.
Never thought about that. You're right. They did. Shoot.
I mean, seriously, I said it on my pod that I thought that Washington fleeced Seattle.
They did. Oh, sorry.
you can say it. They did. They fleeced them. I mean, to get a third rounder for Sam Howell?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I think everybody makes that deal. I mean, over and over.
ASAP.
And then you look at what Pittsburgh gave up to get Justin Fields. I mean, they basically sent a pack of Twizzlers to Chicago and got that. So I was surprised, man. Listen, and this is the surprising thing about that. Adam Peters was coming from the 49ers. Seattle and the 49ers don't get down.
They don't mesh.
So for him to do that with them is even more impressive. So,
I said the offseason, the signing of the offseason is Adam Peters.
Oh, man. You got that right, Andy. I like that, too. I'm out to borrow. Look, I'm a bar.
You taking bars? You taking bars late? You taking bars right now? Is that what we doing?
Getting fire out here. You know what I'm saying?
You snatching these bars out? I see you like you snatching her bars. I feel you.
She said, captains by title only.
She's knocking them out.
You know?
She's knocking them out, man.
Signing of the offseason. Hey, look. I'm telling you, man, if people aren't excited about what's going on right now, then you're never going to be excited because I understand it has to translate on the field. But I had somebody come at me, you know, I was in St. Thomas last week, and I had people coming to me saying, oh, this is Ron 2.0. Everybody was excited when he came in and he was doing that. And I'm like, when did he do this?
He never do this.
Nah, Ron, he never did this.
That's throwing too much shade, to be honest with you. For them to even put Ron Rivera's name on what Adam Peters is doing. That's too much shade.
No comparison. Yeah, not I understand so. Ron walked in and had the number two pick. So I'm gonna say this, and ooh, I can't wait to see Wole's reaction.
What's up?
They had the number two pick, and Justin Herbert was sitting right there. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. I remember. I like Justin. I like Justin a lot. I like Justin.
I do gotta pose a question for y'all real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
You asked the question of as far as can Cam Curl, you know, here and where he is now, if he's going to do better or whatever. How's this Chase thing looking right now?
Oh, the neck? The deal now, too?
Chase Young, I'm just saying. Does
the neck, his neck? Like, you talking about his neck issue?
Yeah, but I'm saying, does it look to you guys like I'm still upset they got rid of Montez. I'm not going to ever hide that.
Yeah, I thought they
should have kept Montez. But the fact that you got rid of Chase, it's not looking that bad now.
No, it's not looking bad at all.
Not looking bad at all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I root for any local kid. So that's the first thing I'll say. I know a lot of people get on me, like, oh, you know, about how I talk about Chase. But I root for every local kid. That's going to be Caleb Williams, too. I'm rooting for him, too.
Sure.
In terms of just keeping the football, yeah, it's working. It's looking right for Washington. You're talking about a dude that's come off a big-time knee injury. That's one. Mm-hmm. Then second, now he has another injury in terms of his neck, which is nothing to play with. You know what I mean? So to kind of let him go and get getting something in return for him.
Yeah.
You look like a winner in that deal, to mm-hmm. be honest with you.
And remember, he had that injury last season.
The stinger. Yeah, is that the stinger? Yeah. Is it the stinger?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people, and this is why I get mad at fans, though. A lot of people thought he was being a punk. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I get mad at fans. Like, that's why I don't like. Yeah, that's a whole different discussion.
I'll never question an NFL player's man.
Yeah.
Because not too many people. Basically, if you want to know what it's like in the NFL, get in your car and just drive into a wall somewhere.
That's basically
what's happening. Every player, car crashes everywhere. So I never question a person's manhood. So.
Agree, Paul. Agree. Yeah. Injuries have stunned it. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, like you said, I agree with you. I'll never get over the Montez thing. We knew it was, but it was like, please don't. Not both of them.
Chase's injury made it easy, didn't it? It made it easy.
It should have been. No one thought it would get rid of both.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody kept saying who's going to have a better year. Well, Chase's injuries made it easy for me to say, you know what? They need to resign Montez right now. And then if Chase has a great year, you franchise him. But, I mean, that's water over the bridge now. They got a second pick for Montez. They got the third for Chase. And hopefully they hit the ground running. I know a lot of people have been saying, though, I'm sure Candy and you all, y'all been getting the same things. Well, this free agent class is good, but they still didn't come away with a home run corner or tackle. Oh, and I'm like, you do realize they have six picks in the top 100, right?
Yeah.
You can't fill everything.
So it's funny. Funny you mentioned that, right? Like, so my thing is like this. How I looked at free agency was like in terms of non-quarterback. How I looked at it was like, it's going to tell me what they're going to target in the draft. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So for me, once I saw that they let their tackles go and they didn't sign any real tackle, I looked at it as if, okay, they're in the second round, they're probably going to get two tackles. That's how I just automatic. I'm like, they're probably going to go second round, get two tackles in the second round.
Or third.
But I know after the first round pick, they're going to go heavy on trying to find a tackle or a couple of tackles.
I agree. I totally agree. And then you also have to remember they saved a lot of their cap money. They didn't use it all up. So when the second wave of free agent cuts happen, you know, or veteran cuts happen, you'll still be able to get a guy there because we know when June comes around and they have these cap casualties, those aren't players that are bad. That's just maybe they just outpriced themselves, or they're messing the team's cap. They have to let them go. So there's still so much more to be done. This roster is probably 70% right now. But the other 30% are going to be guys that are supposed to come in from day one and contribute, if not start half of those guys. So I'm looking forward to this thing. It's made it a lot of fun for us.
I do have a question from one of our viewers. Eric said, I know we need a vet QB, but why Mariota specifically? I'll start with you, Candy.
I mean, I think it's just Cliff Kingsbury. You know, I think it's somebody that is familiar with this system, familiar how he is. And that's just someone that's like, okay, who could come in? I automatically said, does Marcus Mariota equal Jaden Daniels at number two? That was kind of like, which one mirrors Cliff Kingsbury's system?
Yeah. Oh, they killed me for saying that last week.
They killed you. I'm gonna say that I feel like it's insulting Jaden Daniels, but that's a whole different. That's just how low I think of Marcus Mariota. But go ahead, continue. That's just me. Just how low I think of Marcus Mariota. No knock on.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I would also say this. I brought this up on my page before when it was. No, we knew Sam Howell was not it for this regime. We knew this. We talked about this a lot at Combine because we were talking about, you know, Adam Peters came right up and said, now I'm here to find another quarterback. And I was like, Lord, Adam, my ass. Adam, where's PR? Where are we going with this? Oh, man. Oh, it was like 30 seconds into it. And then he tried to clean it up later on. It was like, it's already done. We know, right? Like, we all know. Yeah. But it's Cliff Kingsbury doesn't strike me as the type of person that doesn't know who he wants and needs the result to a quarterback competition. Mm-hmm. I think that is just what we've been used to in, you know, within this space in Washington football of a quarterback competition. So we just say it because it's what we've been saying for the last 30 years. I don't think Cliff rolls like that. And I don't
think there will be no quarterback competition.
There won't be one. They know who they want.
No. Oh, it better not be a quarterback competition. This is a quarterback competition. This is a problem. That means their rookie quarterback was bad.
There's a competition if they draft your boy, though.
Who, Drake?
Yeah, I don't think Drake will be ready from day one.
Oh, Drake can beat out. Drake.
I just don't think he'll be ready from these. I think he's a talent for sure. He's got a lot to clean up. But I think Caleb and Jaden Daniels. They hit the ground running.
See, this is my thing. I think I do like Cliff Kingsbury, but I have my questions about Cliff Kingsbury. All right, so who do you think, who's to you as a prospect, as a true prospect, who's better to you? Do you think that is Jaden Daniels better than Kyler Murray? Do you, as a prospect coming off the rip? Because I would say no.
That's a tough one.
You know what?
It's a body of work in college, and he was doing it because I would say Kyler's better than Jaden.
I mean, body of work, Jaden.
Out of college,
Jaden has the better body of work, ironically.
In the and 1 year?
No, he didn't do this in just 1 year.
He did it one year in his second year, Arizona, right?
Arizona for three, Arizona State for 3 years. He had solid numbers.
They were okay,
over 3,000 yards.
I know LSU was LSU numbers.
Jay McCarthy didn't throw for 3,000 yards.
Believe me, I know that. I never talk about Jay. I never talk about JJ.
they had that wow factor at the combine. Yeah. He was there.
Yeah,
he,
I don't never talk about JJ.
Looked really good, but
I love JJ.
Answer your question. Kyler Murray definitely had a little something pop. But Jaden has that. I just think I don't think we've seen best football, and that's why I'm so high on Jaden Daniels.
Okay,
he didn't have. You guys still with me?
You back and rocking and rolling. Okay.
I think Jaden Daniels, because Brian Kelly wasn't having him throw intermediate routes underneath. They didn't use tight ends, so a lot of his stuff was him running or throwing the deep ball. You know, that's what you see in all his clips because that's what he was doing. But he also had two first round wide receivers. So those are the things that you have to put in play. When he's had talent, he's produced big time numbers. And I'll ask you this, Malik Nabers and what's the other kid, Flowers or whatever?
I know you're talking about, what's his name? Neighbors is the real one. The other one,
I think it's Flowers. Okay. But this is the thing. Are they better than Terry and Jahan?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. So he's not leaving LSU to come to a situation if he Brian is the Thomas, quarterback
Brian,
here.
Brian Thomas. That's what
Brian Thomas. There you go. I appreciate you, homie. Yeah. So he's not leaving LSU with Neighbors and Thomas and going to an NFL team that has nothing. This Washington team has some skill set guys already. They probably need to get another big receiver, which I think they will in the draft. But I think that Jaden Daniels comes in and instantly becomes the quarterback from day one. I truly believe that.
See, I think so. The same argument for me. I mean, look, I said this on another show. Like, I don't have an issue with it either, because I feel like when you go on like social media, it's almost like it's Bloods and Crips, it's Pac Big. like you don't like one, then you like, oh my god, I can't believe it, I hate you, and this, that, and the other. So
social media is politics, man. Yeah, that's so all it is.
I don't get into like, if Jaden Daniels is a quarterback, I'm cool with it. Like, I'm never gonna be like, oh no, why did we get him? I'm not gonna be that person. But like, the reason why I like Mays, because everything you said about why you like Jaden Daniels, about having two top receivers, this, that, and the other, May had none of that.
He didn't have that.
He had none of that. He was putting up numbers. He had to go against some of the teams that we look at like are better, like the Clemsons of the world, when the Clemsons were decent. Like, he had to go against the teams like that. Dude has put up numbers with no receiver. At least when Sam Howell was there, he had a talented squad. Like, but his last year, he didn't. But he had a talented squad. No, May didn't have all. May didn't have any of that.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah,
right.
And so it's like, I think that depending on how they utilize either of these quarterbacks, this is my thing, depending on how they utilize either of these quarterbacks, they can have success. Because if they lean on the run game, which I hope they do, these quarterbacks can have some success, because you're not putting it all on their shoulders to do everything. Because like Jaden Daniels is like, and this is the thing, I don't want, because I expect these dudes to struggle. Like, I'm gonna keep it a buck. I expect both dudes to struggle. Because what happened with CJ Stroud is an anomaly. That doesn't happen every year. Like, what happened with RG3 is an anomaly. That doesn't happen every year. What happened with Andrew Luck doesn't happen every year. You know what I mean? Your favorite all-time quarterbacks in life have struggled tremendously for year one. Peyton Manning struggled. John Elway struggled. Troy Aikman struggled. A lot of your favorite all-time great quarterbacks struggled in year one. You know what I mean? The anomaly of having a CJ Stroud and folks like that, that doesn't happen every year. So I always have the expectation that a rookie quarterback is going to struggle. That's why I'm not down on Bryce Young, because I expect that. I expect you to struggle. Josh Allen struggled. People wanted to run Josh Allen out of Buffalo after year one.
They did.
You know what I mean? And look at him now. They talk about him like he wanted the young ghost in the game. So for me, when you have, like, I expect these dudes to struggle. So if you don't put that much on their plate, you know, run the football a little bit, I feel like they could be a little bit better in terms of in the long run.
Well, you know, when you look at these guys, I actually think rookie quarterbacks can come in and play right away now, because the game is different and it's more of a wide open football game. It's almost like now what they've done in the NFL with the taking away certain hits and things like that. It's kind of like what they did in the NBA, where you couldn't hand check guys anymore. So it's just opened up everybody's game. And now it's almost like these guys are playing year round football, even going to camps and doing drills and working out. So they can come in the league and be ready right away. I look at Jaden Daniels, like, he could be like CJ was last year. Maybe not as good, because that guy's special, but I do think that he can have an impact on a football team like that. And I look at Drake May more like a Will Levis. I think that he's a guy that, you know, he's coming. Yeah. There's things that he just has to clean up, but he's going to be a good one too. So whoever they get, it's an upgrade. Just call it what it is.
It is an upgrade. Whoever they get's an upgrade.
I'm looking forward to, I'm going to go back to Adam Peters, the contingency plan. If this doesn't work out, if this is, because people won't let them forget about Trey Lance. They will not let.
That's fair.
It's a fair, I think Trey Lance not done. I think Trey Lance ultimately might be the quarterback in Dallas.
Exactly. Right. Right. And so it's like, okay, if this doesn't work out, what is your contingency plan? I'm not worried. Just because it's like, I'm not worried. I don't know who it's going to be. Yeah. You know, we can use our clues to try to figure it out, but it's like, I think they know who they want. I think they know what they're looking after. And let me say this about Coach Kingsbury too. I wasn't necessarily sold on Coach Kingsbury, right? But I said, let me see who they staff this with.
Yeah, the staff makes it a lot better. It makes them tolerable. It makes them more tolerable, to be honest with you.
You got this a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
He has. They're legit. He loaded up with his coaching staff. Very impressive.
And you know what? People have to remember that the problem in Washington all these years, guys, has been whoever you made your quarterback, he was still always looking over his shoulder because there was still somebody behind him.
Yeah.
Other people might have liked the building or other fans. So when Robert was doing it, you had Kirk. And then you think about with Sam, if they Jacoby. Brought Sam back, I'm just saying, even if they brought Sam back, he's got to worry about him getting pulled for a rookie quarterback. So I agree with Candy. They're not doing that now. Cliff Kingsbury and company, they're not having this wide open quarterback competition. I mean, it's going to be competition because Mariota is a veteran, but Mariota, let's call it like it is.
He's trash, man. Oh my God, he's horrible, man. I can't stand.
He wasn't brought in here to be.
He shouldn't be.
The guy to handing the ball off. He was.
He shouldn't be. He shouldn't be on a roster. I ain't gonna lie. He should be a third stringer. I feel so bad today.
Listen, there were backups last year. We're starting. I think it was like 33 different backups last year starting.
And 30
of those 33 should have been.
I'd be so scared if he plays the game, bro. I'd be so scared.
And I say this because.
I run P Rob like 40 times.
I think he was better than those 30 backups last year.
Which one? Which back for who? For which team?
Man, I'm not trying to call guys out. But
I'll call him out. I call him out for you.
I'm just saying you had like DeVito and New York.
Yeah. You talk about the whole Giants roster.
And Josh Wilson in New York. I mean, bro, they were bad.
I'll give you that. Yeah, but he's still on that level of bad though. You know, that's like a tier of bad. You're right though. He's better than bad. He's like he's better.
I mean,
those are horrible.
Cleveland, bro, they have five.
I'd take Flacco over Mariota. No, come on now. Let's take Flacco over Mariota. Mariota can't throw.
No, I'm saying for this offense, no.
I would take anybody over Mariota. I don't get Mariota can run all he wants. He can't throw.
did Oregon beat Michigan or something?
We handled Pac-12. We handled that. We ruin folks' lives like Penix. We ruin folks' lives like Penix. That's what we do.
Between him and Felix, my God.
Sit next to Felix, man. I'd be like.
Oh my God, Texas, Michigan, it's enough. Come on, man.
What was that? Oh, the selection game, the playoffs. Oh man, well, it was a disaster in the press box with the
Texas. Too playoff. Bad for Texas. Too bad for them. I had a good time. Look, like I enjoyed mine. I was in Nigeria and I enjoyed all of it.
This makes me so mad when I have
stayed up and watched that whole game. I stayed up and watched that game. Amazing, immaculate, one of the best.
I did root for Michigan though to win it. Because I like to keep it in conference. I didn't want an SEC team winning anything.
Period. I appreciate you. Like, thank you. Appreciate you, much love for you, bro. I'm telling you, it felt good, right? Just to have us win. I know it felt good. I ain't gonna lie, it felt real good. So in terms of the signings, then. I'm gonna start with you. Like, who was your favorite signing of that? Period. It's not over yet, but who was your favorite signing so far?
I mean, for me, it's a tie for two of them, and I know that's taking the easy way out, but I think that Bobby Wagner signing was humongous.
I agree.
Humongous.
That was everybody was waiting on.
Yeah, just from a cultural standpoint, it was It was needed, and now you won't have anybody crying in the locker room. You just won't. But I love Frankie Louvu, man. I'm trying to tell you, he's a dog.
That's my answer. He's family for real, because that's my favorite one right there.
Right there.
Think about what we just said. You got both them side by side. You're going from Mayo and Barton to this. That's like literally going
and
from.
And then you got all, more speed with Jamin.
Street basketball in their seventh and eighth grade to me walking out there one day with LeBron and Steph.
I mean, that's no lies told.
That's literally the time you went from a budding Pro Bowl young player and a Hall of Famer from two guys that probably shouldn't have been on the roster.
I agree. Now you and also you have legit speed with Thump. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I like. You
got Jamin Davis benefits from all of
yes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Eric, I agree with you, homie. Yeah, like that's what I like. That's why I'm excited. Like Lake, how and Candy, how many times have we seen or in our within the last like 5-10 years a linebacker unit with this amount of speed and can actually tackle? You know what I mean? And put some thump to it. Like this is actually one of those. To me, could be the one of those linebacker units that can actually be reckless. I love that term for linebackers, like reckless, like going balls to the wall, ready to smack somebody. We ever had that? Most of our linebackers have been kind of soft.
Well, I think that's the intention of Joe Witt Jr. And right when we were sitting there, Candy, he said he wants guys that are going to get to the ball in a violent manner. Mm-hmm. And he flat out told us.
That's my language, man. That's my language.
Oh, he did, but he flat out told us too. This isn't going to be for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think he was calling out guys that were currently on the roster. Like, this may not be the style of play for you guys where you got to give up your soul and get somebody down. Yeah. And they're going to weed you out. But I think there's no mistake in that when you watch the Commanders going forward, they're going to be a team where they're putting a hat on somebody. And we said it for Ron. That's what Ron came in and said. It was lip service. He came in from day one and said, when you play the Commanders, win, lose, or draw, you're going to know you've been in a fight, whatever. Nah, man. That's not what happened. Teams looked at the Commanders and were like, they used to call them the get rights. You know,
what? Well, yes.
Yeah, because it was like, I'm getting ready to pass some stats today.
Yes. Yes, we made Russell Wilson look right, but then we still won. But still, he looked that one quarter, that one half, that man like he was Joe Montana.
We saw a lot of guys look right against Washington.
Exactly. Yeah, Justin Fields looked like Michael Vick.
I mean, how many times did Daniel Jones got his contract?
Daniel Jones looked like Tom Brady against us, bro.
He did. And I will always talk about Justin Fields. I mean, like, I don't know why anybody would talk bad about Justin Fields from the Commanders fan base.
Oh, no, we should never talk bad about that man.
Single-handedly beat the Commanders. Not, well, we know the disaster on Thursday night last year.
He almost left the year before that. I know you saw exactly what you're talking about.
They only lost by 5 points. Yeah. It was 12-7.
He remember that game.
Single-handedly beat them.
I agree.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, man. So hopefully them days are over and it can get back to finally some real football around the Beltway for real.
Yeah, I mean I don't this could be, you know, speaking too soon, but if you know, they're not going to lose like that.
No.
Like some of the losses that we saw.
Oh, last year?
None of those guys quit.
We're
not going to see guys quit. We're not.
No.
We're not going to see guys in the locker room smiling after they got bludgeoned on the field. That's what irritated me to no end. You know, just over the years seeing guys that, I mean, this is your craft. And if I have a bad day at work, or if we have bad days doing what we do, you're going to bed with that. You mean you're literally going to bed like, how can I not have this day again? Mm-hmm. But I don't know if maybe people show their anger in different ways. Some guys laugh to play it off. But man, I want guys upset in the locker room when you're losing the way that this team has been losing. And in the manner, I mean, that Chicago game on that Thursday night,
That was disrespectful.
And then the Buffalo, coming off the Buffalo, you know, we were looking at them at when they were 2-0, like, we know who they played, of course, you know, to be 2-0, but it was still signs of hope. And then just the wheels fell off, and they weren't just losing. They should have had the police on standby on the field, because that's how bad those muggings were.
They were. It's like they was quitters. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they will. Well, I got a question from my man, Danden. He says, how big of an impact will Bobby Wagner provide for this defense this season? We don't need to hear Jonathan Allen's pregame speeches no more. I'm going to start with – hey, Lake, I'm going to start with you, though.
Hey, man, I love with Danilo. Hey, man.
Yeah, Danden. We call him Danden.
100%. No, don't want to hear any more speeches from him. No more. Don't. I the Bobby Wagner signing, we talked about it a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
It's big, man. It's big. It's big for their culture in the locker room. It's big from a professionalism standpoint. It's big from, you know, they didn't have a guy in the locker room last year that could stand up and say, hey, look at me. Look at how I get through this adversity. Or look at me. You know, we've had some success, but keep your head down and keep going. Bobby Wagner can answer and check all those boxes because he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Super Bowl winner, played in multiple Super Bowls, and he's been probably one of the best two or three at his position since he's been in the league. So I just think that now guys won't be able to duck and dodge and run and not want to listen to anybody because they've got a guy that's proven it. And I think Eckler on the other side of the ball will be that face for them too.
Kent, this is for you. Eric said, Kent, get rid of Jonathan Allen fast enough. So are you surprised? So a lot of fans have kind of turned on Jonathan Allen, which I have not turned on Jonathan Allen, but I get the frustration because I'm kind of annoyed with some of the things he's kind of come out and said too as well. But are you surprised that he's still on this roster? Because he did say he doesn't want to deal with a rebuild. And this is a rebuild. This is a true rebuild. So are you surprised that he's still on this roster?
I mean, today, yes, but the season isn't over, right? Maybe he ain't over. I don't know what Adam Peters.
Hey, you ain't lying.
I really don't know. I'm like, you know, hey, Lake, we've worked this hard, and I know since I've been in this, game with y'all, was it 7 years now for me? We've never worked this hard in free agency.
Never. They did their due diligence. They signed guys that most fans were like, who the hell is that? Well, we knew who those players were,
right?
But those were the guys that they would never touch in the past because they didn't have a name. They didn't have that splash. Right. Well, this might be their best free agent group that I've seen them bring in.
Wow, okay.
Ever since I've been covering them. It's that solid on paper with good players. These are hungry guys that are now being able to step out of the shadows of other great players they were lined up with,
right,
and they can be the guy. I mean, when you look at Farrell, you know, when you look at Frankie Louvu, I mean, these are guys now that they're at 26, 27 years old. This is when you take the next step, you know, in your career to be either great or just a good NFL player. And I think that they're hoping that maybe 3-4 of these guys that they brought in really give them impact. Dorrance Armstrong as well. I love what they've done, man. I really do.
I mean, yeah, and let's be for real. I mean, they still had a culture problem.
Yeah. Right?
You said it earlier. Like, I mean, this group is used to losing. Sure. So you have to make an impact in free agency. You have the money, right? You have the expertise on your coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This was definitely, and we've heard them say this, that this was going to be a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. We can literally look at each signing and see where a coach had input.
Absolutely. Where a coach
got to go and get his guys.
Yep.
That's what they did almost at each position group. And they let them go out and get their people that have that right mentality. And you have to bring in people with that mentality because these guys just don't have it. They don't. And so they need that support from other players. Jonathan Allen can't keep doing the pregame speeches. How would he know how to get the team ready to go to win? I mean,
it's not Alabama. And that's what I'm saying. This Terry, Ohio State, you know, Deron and John, right, Alabama, Brian Robinson, Alabama. I respect programs in college because they do great.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, everybody in that Commanders locker room are professional losers. And
the realest statement I've heard in a long time.
They're professional losers, meaning it's not them as people. I'm talking about the results on the field.
Yeah, it's a resume.
Absolutely. So now you got a professional winner coming in with Bobby Wagner, and he will tell these guys, yeah, you may have, you know, individually done some things, but collectively, what have you done to make your teammates better? What have you besides running and complaining? So now it's a different game. And when Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and even Josh Harris talk about a winning culture is guys coming together to play for each other and not finger point and not, you know, find fault in coaches and stuff like that. I mean, we all played sports, man. You know, I played in college and I could find many a fault in my coaching. But you got to listen. You don't have a choice. So now hopefully they can change all this stuff.
And like you were saying, we know these guys. They're good guys. They're good guys. They're not
bad people. They're
great people. All of the above. But they need to be led. They need somebody. They don't have the answer at this level. So Jonathan Allen needs the support. He needs somebody to be able to give these pregame speeches to get him hyped. You know, to get him ready to go, to get others ready to go. They've tried that experiment. It hasn't worked. Okay, bring some veterans in here that know how to get this done. And, it could hit the ground running and everybody can flow along with it. You know, pregame speeches were cool, but it didn't result in the outcome.
Too much talking. Yeah, guys, rah, rah, rah. And then 5 minutes later, nose is in the dirt. You got tired of that. So you know what Bobby Wagner is, guys? Bobby Wagner is a saddle. That's exactly what he is. Mm-hmm. He's got a bunch of young bucking Broncos and horses running around. Mm-hmm. And they never got steered properly. They never got, you know, somebody that can saddle them up and calm them down and get them to focus and play football the right way. So now you've got that in there again, like Candy's saying. I mean, I think this Bobby Wagner signing, and I'm serious, this might be one of the biggest signings that they've ever had.
I agree. In the last
decade. And I mean that too.
I agree that. I agree.
It's for a low.
This is like
break a bank.
Yeah, this is like Fletcher all over.
I totally agree. That's a great comparison. I totally agree with that. So, you know, Candy, you called me when you said like nice guy, like they're nice people. Like I almost bust out laughing because that's like my thing against like when somebody says somebody's nice, that means they trash to me.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Like when somebody says someone's nice, I'm like they trash because like that, you know, it's like the person you say like when someone says you find that person attractive, that person's so nice, like they're so nice. You never say that person's attractive. You say they're nice.
Nice and attractive, though.
If you never, if you don't even say attractive, you just say the person's just nice. If you never add the end that they're attractive, you say like that person is so nice.
What you're saying is because Candy said John Allen and all these guys are really nice young men.
Yeah, that's all she said. They're nice. She said it was great players. She said
they're
nice.
Trash.
She said they trash.
Now, since, I mean, they are nice, but
no, I'm playing with you, Karen. That's how I would do it.
Sometimes so nice. I do say that about people. That's why I'm laughing too. But
yeah,
they were missing something in that culture. I think they were missing something. Of course, we all know this, right? But it just
because I would call Ron Rivera nice as hell. I think he's super nice.
He's
real nice. Like Ron Rivera is so nice, like amazingly nice, like awesomely nice. Just say,
nah, he is.
You know, being serious,
agenda driven, but yeah, but no, like seriously, that was one of the nicest locker rooms that I've ever covered.
Hey, listen,
yeah, man, it really was. Nice people, man,
and that's
nice
how I knew they were going. That's how I knew they were going to be doomed.
I know exactly.
That's exactly how I knew they were going to be doomed because You didn't have a guy that wanted to ruffle anybody's feathers. Everybody stayed in their lane. And let's face it, when you talk about the GOATs and all the sports and their specific crafts, Tom Brady was not liked by a lot
not
of
not at all.
I mean, Troy Aikman when Dallas, they hated the dude, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying all the guys that are supposed to be the leader of your team more than likely isn't going to be the most liked guy.
Agreed.
And I think that you have to have somebody that's a dog. And fortunately, they have a chance to recalibrate, because they're not saying rebuild, recalibrate this thing. And that's where I think it's important for them to nail down this quarterback. To me, it's more about the quarterback's leadership qualities more so than his game, because all these guys can play football. Yeah. I mean, you can go down to Bo Nix, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. All these guys are really good football players, okay? But who's the guy that's going to tell a veteran, shut the hell up, let's play some football?
True.
So that's what I'm looking forward to see. Who's going to be that guy that's going to be the leader, literally, in the face of the franchise? Because the face of the franchise should not be your wide receiver.
No, it shouldn't. It should not be.
The face of the franchise has been Terry. Terry's earned that. He's earned it. Yeah, but that's because they haven't had the face that it should be, which is your quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. You know what this team kind of like, the way they're built, the way they remind me of, you know, some fans aren't going, I like 2.0, but Gibbs 2.0, that first year when he brought in that defense, that stout defense, because I don't think this offense is going to be like prolific at all, but I do think the defense could be stout. Like, I do believe that this defense can do some things to keep the quarterback, whoever the quarterback is, to keep him involved in the game, competitive, not putting all that pressure on a young quarterback. Like we saw last year with our defense, putting a lot of pressure on the young quarterback. I think that this year, our defense will help the young quarterback stay in games. So I do think that what you're saying, like about what Bobby Wagner brings to this team, is just like what Phillip Daniels and company brought to that team back in the day, or Wynn, you know, folks like that, what they brought to that defense, with Joe Gibbs' defense. I think they bring leadership. Wagner will bring leadership, a sense of calm, and he'll have these other players playing to their capabilities and reach their maximum level.
Well, and they had a coordinator in Greg Williams that
exactly that too
put guys in spots. I mean, you know when you had Carlos Rogers, Sean Springs, and Sean Taylor and LaRon Landry. I mean, they had
Walt Harris.
They had guys that could go out and just play fast football because they weren't. Mm-hmm. And Candy, what did Joe Witt say? That's what he said. He said, if you got your guys out there on Sunday not knowing their assignments and not knowing what to do, that means you're not a good coach, because you haven't prepared them and prepped them to do what they're supposed to do. So how many times do we see these defenses over the past few years, guys just looking at each other while the best player on the opposing team is wide open? I mean, we just saw it way too many times. Like, it was like you and I could have gone out there and put up 100 on these guys.
You know, as soon as you were mentioning that, I thought about Greg Williams, and I was just like, man, I can't wait to see what Joe Witt Jr. does. I'm super impressed by this coaching staff. I really am. Or what they have pulled together, and the experience levels, and the respect that, no, like I said, the players aren't coming in having to learn the coach. If that makes sense. They already know what's up. They know what the deal is. And I think they're going to be ready to execute. I don't think, you know, I don't know what the recalibration is going to look like, but I know they're not going out here to lose.
No, they're not.
Nah, they ain't going to come up. They're not going out here to lose,
and they're not going to take it like, okay, well, we're just trying to figure things out. No,
they're trying to win. They feel like they're trying to win. And you know what? If you really want to know how special this coaching staff can be, all you got to do is look at the contracts of the players that they're signing free agent-wise. They're not massive deals. So they're selling guys on, you have a chance to really create your name. You have a chance to be part of something that's being built. And then on top of that, you have a chance to forge a camaraderie with your teammates. Like, they're really selling that point. And mm-hmm. and we've seen guys come here before on big time deals. And you and I are already like, man, that guy got that bag. He's running out the tunnel with a mask on under his helmet because he's stealing money. it's serious. You know, they were looking for a name. They could have washed them bandits because that's what they were doing. They were stealing money. But that's not going to be the case now. You're going to earn your keep here. And then if you get rewarded with a big time contract, it's because you were out there slaying people on the field.
You earned it. Yep.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
I mean, they even made some moves from a special teams perspective.
Yeah.
Right? Like, hey, even that veteran, like,
thank you.
The long snap, you know, the kick. I mean, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yes. Was big.
That was big. Wait a minute. Because I'm a special teamer. I like, you know, right?
So, a long time ago.
Yeah, right. I was like, oh, Coach Izzo said, this is who I need, 1, 2, and 3.
Yes, I like that.
Please say, but I need this.
Hey, Candy, what did Coach Lynn say to us that day out at the bubble? He told us. He said, what he loves about where he is right now, he said with Adam Peters, AP, he said, whatever we want, we can go to him and tell him we want it, and he will go get it just like that.
Get it.
Boom. If that's never been a truer statement, because he's doing exactly what these coaches are asking for.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because, again, that is something that the organization and this fan base is not used to.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to player decisions being actually made by an owner or a GM. The GM is picking players. No. These coaches are telling them what they want, who they need.
That's good.
AP going out there and making it happen.
And he didn't tell us that in no group scrum, by the way, just so y'all know.
I like how you did that. I like that. I like that a lot. out there. Be petty like me, Link. I like that crap.
Candy, I don't do scrums. I don't.
Yeah, exactly. I don't do scrums.
Well, come over here. I'm going over there.
No. Sometimes you just gotta let them know. Sometimes you just gotta let them know. No,
I don't do scrums. I mean, all my information is one-on-one.
One-on-one. My man.
He did say that.
My man. Yeah. So Candy, you can answer this. Who do you think will have the most impactful presence off the rip? Would it be like Lake said, Bobby Wagner? Do you think that would be the most impactful player off the rip?
I think so, because it's Bobby Wagner. You know what I mean? That's one of the things that I still ask him in press conference. I mean, he's still very much a household name. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that some of the young guys on the team, they're going to be like, oh my God, it's Bobby Wagner. But it's so, I mean, and the other thing about it is too, what I'm seeing, it's almost like these guys are impressed by each other. Right? Remember Ken Norton Jr. was like, yeah, I walked in the building. I saw Doug Williams. I saw London Fletcher. You know, I love London Fletcher. I mean, they are showing
respect to the history.
Yes. Yeah. It's ultimate respect to the history of the fan base of the team immediately. Right, it's not even really the rivalry, you know, Dallas, you know, because of course they come from Dallas, you know, Washington. It's we know the caliber, and I can't remember it right now. I think it was Zach Ertz that said, hey, when this team is rolling, this is a pretty difficult place to play, and we're trying to get back there.
They know that, they know
what's up. I mean,
that we heard so many times the reference of RFK brought up, and they were like, that they can get this stadium to be similar, and I think these guys aren't coming in here, and I'm not trying to call out people, but some people got paid to coach here.
I
think these guys are coming in here with a little bit more of a lunch pail mentality of, let's get this thing back. They feel like they're the ones that are going to do it, not could, maybe, possibly. They feel like they're getting ready to get this thing buzzing around here. And it's already starting to get a little hum going to it. So naturally, the draft, you get the right things in the draft. None of us know what they're going to do in the draft. We naturally think, obviously, they're going to take a quarterback at number 2. But You just never know, man.
Oh, I know they get Marvin Harrison Jr. I know it'd be great. I'll be happy.
Marvin not working out for nobody.
I know because he's smart. He's smart,
bro. He's Marvin like set a precedent that's getting ready to be followed by a lot of people.
Like, Marvin asked him. He was like, "The 9 teams, y'all need me to run a 40? Not really. All right."
No, it was so funny at combine. Everybody was still crowded around his podium. And I'm like, why? Why are y'all there? He's not coming. He said what he said. Y'all thought he was playing?
Nah, he's not playing. That Dunker, like, I'm the best receiver in the draft. I proved it at the highest level.
Yeah.
My dad's a Hall of Famer. So
what you want?
What you want, man? Seriously. What you want?
I do these drills. I do these drills on the regular.
I do these drills in the game.
Yeah. I do this in the house. I do these drills in the house, my dad. That's what he says. I run good routes. Why do you think
Look, take the lie, man. It doesn't lie.
It don't lie.
You know, people have great times in Indy and all that, but at the end of the day, I've always said it's the combine to me is for the unheralded player. It's for the unheralded player to maybe get a chance to see his measurables and get a look at him. But I think the top line guys that come from Power Five conferences and they were the man in their Power Five conferences, I honestly don't think they need to be there. I really don't.
I mean, the
press conference, you're telling me you can't do that over Zoom? I know people are going to get mad at me for saying that.
No, I told, bro.
Come on, man. I mean, that's just become a spectacle in itself to make some money. So let me stop.
I agree. Well, this has been dope, y'all. Like, I appreciate y'all. So I'm gonna start with you, Lake. How can folks catch you on social media and catch your content, my man?
All right, easy now. It's just this Lake Lewis Jr. on all of social media.
I know. I saw you change. You almost messed me up. Go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I had to, man. It was sitting out.
I understand.
Do that. So anyway, so I have that. And of course, you know, After Practice Podcast, which I got to get you guys back on soon. And then you go to sportsjourney.com and my league stuff coming up soon. So
I know what time it is. Yeah. Hey, Ken, how can folks catch you on social media and catch your content for Bowie TV?
Just go to on X at Seawall SE and then go to Bowie TV Sports, Bowie TV at BCMC TV, Maryland on YouTube and X and all the things. From there, you'll find me everywhere else.
And all the things. I like that. And all the things. Hey, I appreciate you all for being on. Thank you for going overtime because I actually went over. And I love the conversation. That's why I went over.
you know, when you go over with us now, you got to pay us something on the dollar. You know?
All right, man. You take it easy, bro. I'm not jeering. You know we cheat. We don't do that type of stuff. We always trying to hustle. We ain't trying to pay.
Oh my god.
All right, y'all take these, man.
Y'all for sure.
All right, man. Bye. Y'all take these. I appreciate y'all.
See you.
I love you guys.
Love you too, bro. Oh man, that was dope, man. Lake, Candy, awesome. They're so awesome. My man Dandy, what did my man Dandy say? Should the Commanders take a look at either Tyler Board or Michael Thomas to add depth at wide receiver, maybe Corey Davis or Olamide? Okay, Olamide. That's not your name. I can't say that. That's not Nigerian. That last name is Nigerian, though. I don't know what that name is. Zacchaeus. That's not Nigerian, though. All of them good for a year. Prove a deal. I'm sorry, a 1 year prove a deal. Excuse me. I like Tyler Boyd, but I don't think they need to. Where the Commanders at right now, I don't see them needing to pick up a wide receiver. The only wide receiver I want them to get is a wide receiver with height. They need something different from what they have, you know, on the roster. That's my thing. Hey man, appreciate you, Eric. Man, thank you, man. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you, Steven, man. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Oh, you laughed at my joke? Yeah, I'm a fool. I'm a big time fool. Appreciate y'all. Anyway, man, appreciate y'all for tuning in. Before I close this show out, let me talk about some particulars again. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. If you're watching this on YouTube now, you're a first-time viewer, Hey, hit that red subscribe button and like this video. Also, check out the Urban Sports Scene at www.urbansportsscene.com. Again, thank you all for listening, tuning in. Thank you, Candy and Lake, for doing a darn thing on the show. Appreciate you all, because you all are really the real MVPs. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For Aegis, it is Deuces. I'm out.